Let's give Tim, one of the co-founders of this ministry, a big hand. Yeah. You know, we got thousands of people logging on every Wednesdays and Sundays, and Rachel's actually handling that now, and she's an awesome girl. Let's give her a hand of praise, amen? Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Rachel to come up now because I just want to just give it to you now. Jim, you're just going to have to deal unless you could run down here a little bit. Can you break away and just run down? Okay.
Yeah. I don't have any stats.
Okay. No problem. You got to. We have to kind of hang right here because of the fact. Here, shall I bring that up? Yeah.
He's coming down the stairs.
Okay. What we have here is some things are recorded. I don't even know if that we even made it on the web or nothing, but okay. Well, I want to publicly just say that I don't normally ordain anybody into ministry. I have to actually see God working through you in order for me to ordain somebody. And, you know, I met these two, geez, how many years ago now? Almost 5 years ago. And there's truly a calling on their lives. You know, the love and the passion that they have for God is just a beautiful thing. Look, I was a simple dude, and I just had a burning inside of me. And, you know, God met me and ended up having my life changed through, I call an apostle of God. And what's the definitions of an apostle? It's in our book, by the way. We're writing a book.
Basically, one who's called to give a message.
Yeah, one who is like a forerunner. Yeah, in a commission ordained by God. And so, with that being said, boom, birthed into ministry. And you know, I never expected it, never was born in it, never, you know, thought one day I'm going to go to the monastery or whatever. I don't even know how I got here. You know, after God changed my life, the whole thing was over. I mean, we went right to the nation, started ministering. The glory of God began to reveal itself. And, you know, we are followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. And that is one of the seals of God when... Because if you look at the life of Jesus, did things and God did them through him, confirming signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, since then, I met Jim and Rachel. They've been coming here and sitting under this ministry, and there's been a lot of impartation. I mean, you can't sit in this ministry without getting touched by the presence of God. And it's just going to happen. If you're here, or those are listening, or those that come out later, you'll experience. As soon as you walk through that door, something happens. The atmosphere begins to start to change. Well, they've been on the worship team. They just recently took over the worship team and have been growing in the, I call it the realm of glory. And some of you might not understand what the realm of glory is, but there's a presence that we can bring into through song and praise and all that other stuff. And we also speak in through the message with glory. And so just last week, I ordained them, and I'm going to issue their certificates since they're not going to be here this Sunday. So I want to publicly say this one here is for Rachel. There's her certificate. All right, let's give her a hand. And there is Jim's, and it's official, sealed, and ordained by the... I guess after I was ordained, you know, I have the authority now to ordain and to give out these certificates showing that you are actually, isn't that beautiful?
Cool.
Is that beautiful?
That's cool.
You have to cut them the size of your frame, but it says here, I'll just read Rachel's, it says certificate of ordination. This is to certify that Rachel Esther Franklin has been set apart and called. Look, I'm getting all worked up. That's the glory.
So this is the reason my crap has been going on.
Yes, yes. And you'll hear the message today. And has been set apart and called to the ministry of the gospel. And I want everyone to understand what the gospel is out there. The gospel is truly just a message of good news. It has nothing to do with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It has nothing to do with the King James. It has nothing to do with anything like that. It's just a message of good news. And we have a message of good news. You know, a lot of us don't realize. And let's just give these two a hand of praise. Jim says the same thing, by the way. So, Jim, you want to show yours a little bit out there? You want to hold it up and smile for everyone?
I give them to her.
Yeah, let's let him go back upstairs.
Okay, all right. Let's get another hand for those guys. So we just give honor where honor is due, and we'll encourage them. Now, when people are ordained in ministry, it's not that they're ordained in here for ministry. Now, we hope that their ministry works along with our ministry or my ministry or what have you. But at the same time, you know, they have a ministry, and now they're anointed and protected by God in that call. Next week or this Sunday coming up, I hope those that are here or logging in or whatever come, and we're ordaining Tim and Kurt. And actually, it was laid on my heart to do with Sanchez. Yeah, John Sanchez. I call him Sanchez. because he truly... and I want everyone out there knowing that I don't do this lightly. I don't do this lightly. I have to see the fruit of the call on your life in order for me to see how God has called you into ministry. And Tim has been with me for over 10 plus years, and he's been serving in the ministry now for all that whole time. And he has a fire burning in him a long time ago, and he's one of the co-founders of this ministry. We're just now ordaining him, you know, but he's been ordained anyhow from probably 10 years ago, you know. But making it official. I have now stepped out full time in full faith, and I have truly accepted the call in my life. I was running. I want to tell you right. I was running to step out in faith in this direction. You have to know that you 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 know that God is calling you, and that you can walk away from everything. And you know, I kept trying to live in that world there, still trying to provide income and everything else, and I just said, you know what, I can't take it anymore, I gotta do it, and just dropped the ball and talked to my whole family, and they were in agreement, and I said, I don't know where God's gonna take us, but you know, we'll see where it goes. But he's been providing and supplying all of our needs, and I just want to give the Lord a hand of praise on that one. And I know that will be a sign and a wonder and a miracle. The most greatest gift that I can ask for all of you that are out there listening and all that, and you're probably going to think money. No. Moral support. Just having you be here, just having you hear it. Believe me, God will move on his heart and he'll supply my needs. But just having you here, seeing your lives changed, hearing your testimonies, watching God's move and his signs and the wonders and the miracles that he's doing, is just giving me the faith to continue to keep moving forward. And that's my greatest desire, is to just see his glory. Now, with all that being said, we're holding baptisms now. So if anyone has been longing to be baptized, we're doing it every Sunday. Last Sunday, we just had a baptism. And Mary Lou, can I call you up for a quick testimony? Just for a quick one, because, you know, people might not quite understand what a baptism is. But when you get baptized here, thank you, brother. When you get baptized here, your life is changed. Subconsciously, you have a life. You have a person that's living inside of you subconsciously. And then we have one that's living, I want to call outside of us, consciously. And the subconsciousness has been walking around with so much guilt and shame and condemnation. It has no clue why they feel the way they feel, guilty and shameful and all that other stuff. And yet their mind is saying, I'm perfectly fine. And Mary Lou has been with us for a long time. I've watched God move many phases in her life. When I say glory to glory to glory, we definitely go from glory to glory to glory. There's levels of, you know, growing in God, especially in this realm here. And she got baptized just last Sunday. And I'll just let her share.
Put her on the spot, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
Well, I feel like a door to a whole world has been closed. Like everything is different. Like I'm, I guess, born again, a new person, more. I'm certainly under attack more, but that's okay. It's okay. That tells me that I know I'm on the right path. That I know things are good, and I feel great. And I've become bolder in talking out to people, and you know I'm like a shrinking violet, and now no more. I'm standing up straight now.
Isn't that awesome? So, you know, I know I put her on the spot, and she did great. You can't express, I want to say, the God that we serve, and how He works through you and changes your heart. Now, there are many gods out there. And there's a lot of gods out there that they believe just one, this one particular God. And a lot of churches, you know, believe in this one particular God. But where is He? That's what I want to say. Where is He? I know where God is. And I tell everybody, God doesn't exist until you create Him. And you have to create Him for who He is. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a God that really cares about you and really understands. And He doesn't hold anything against you and doesn't hold you accountable for anything. And there is no sin. There's no such thing as sin. We have put sin on ourselves by basically thinking that we should have known better or should have done something better or would have, could have, and should have. And there is no would have, could have, and should have. There is none. What is. And we live in a world that we had to figure it out. Even the ones that are trying to figure it out and help us haven't even figured it out. And they're trying to help us. And so when we can realize God and create Him for who He is, and then you live with Him, it changes your whole entire life. And I'm called to get you, those that are here and those that are listening, to know this God that I know, because He has truly changed my life. I don't expect you to know who He is at all, even from past experiences through maybe your other teachings that you've been around or other churches or whatever like that. I want to teach you who God is from the bottom up. In the areas that most of you has been sitting under this ministry has already come to a place of realizing, but the God that I know is pure faith. He is the God of faith. And you have to come to a place of believing and trusting. And that is probably one of the most difficult things to do, especially when you live in a world and you can't even trust someone that you love very dearly. We've all been hurt before. And based on us growing up in our hurts, it's virtually impossible to trust anybody. I know that I don't trust anybody, and I still don't trust anybody. But yet, I created a God who is real because I created Him, but He's real because I believed and I trusted in what I brought into my life. And because of that, it released a power, and I want to say a power of the universe. It's kind of difficult to understand. And when I mention God, that name is so weak. Our minds can't comprehend who He is. That's why I say the name God is just so weak. He is a power of creation that is beyond our comprehension, and we can't even fathom really who He is. I look at it as a counsel that is beyond this world that actually is looking over every one of us. And in that counsel, there's a supreme. And that supreme is God, that the only English language word that I can come up with to those that are listening out there around the world and other nations. And I can't wait until this book comes out, because when this book comes out, it'll be able to explain a lot, especially when you only have an hour, you know, to share. But I've been talking about a series about bringing this God that I know into your life, the God of faith, the God that's been around since the beginning of creation, the God who formed you in the realm that we don't even know before the earth and the world was even formed. You know, you were created and living before earth, this world was even formed. That's what's incredible. And because of that, we were living a world up there. We just don't remember it, but we were living a world up there. And I know, because some of you might know my testimony, some of you might not know my testimony, but I was taken, whether in the body or out of the body. We're still trying to figure that one out. I think I came out of my body, but my body was still functioning on a daily basis, which is blowing my mind. But I was gone for 3 days in this realm up there. That's all I'm going to say, this realm up there. I want to call it heaven, but I can't even get the words that we, in our minds, understand. But through that, I obtained and saw and experienced things that will blow your mind. And I went through different phases, different generations. I passed through different generations. I went through the Renaissance Age. I went through the Cowboy Age. I went through, you know, I didn't go through the Ice Age, though. but I went through different ages, and I met Jesus. I met other prophets of old, and I didn't really know who their names were, nor would they nor did I even care because of all what was going on. But I did meet Jesus, and I had an intimate time with him. And one of the things that he mentioned was, go back and tell them about my father. And then I came back into my body. Since then, my whole life was a whirlwind, and it'll all be in the book. But signs and wonders and miracles are following everything that is done and said, and he confirms the message. So I'm talking about a series now about trusting in God. And if you haven't connected with it, please go on the website and log on to some of the other icon videos or messages that are on there to try to follow through. But I'm gonna express something tonight. And I hope that you understand that we were put on this earth for one purpose and one purpose only. Not to, you know, build big houses and all that, even though that's all great. You know, hey, live in the biggest house you want. It doesn't matter. Get the best car you want. Earn as much money as you want. All that. But that is not the importance of why we're here. The reason why we're here is to understand who God is and to give your life back to him, basically. To surrender your whole entire life, because he has given us a life already and we have to find it. So basically what I'm saying is, Tim, I'm going to use you as an example. Come on up here. Let's say you're lost. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know nothing, right? Okay. And I come up to you and say, Tim, I've already given you a life, okay? And everything that I put inside of you is right here. It's a book, okay? All you got to do is learn how to read it, right? Okay. Right now, Tim has no clue what he's doing. Do you have any idea what's going to happen tomorrow?
No.
Do you have any idea? You know, I mean, can you understand what happened to you in the past?
Yes.
But can you understand why it happened to you in the past?
I can't understand why, though.
There you go. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, Tim is a lost man. Okay, he's a lost man, but he's now found because now he knows how to read the book. But all right, I just wanted to pull him up real quick because I want us to understand that we're all lost out there. Every one of us are lost. We have no clue what's happening. We don't even know what the heck we're doing every day. It's like repetitive and yada yada yada, and we seem lost, confused, dazed. What's going to happen tomorrow? when God is created into your life and you understand how to obtain the book that's written on your heart, written inside of you, and you know how to read it, all of a sudden something happens. The light comes on. There's like a light bulb that comes on. Boing! And all of a sudden you have eyes to see and ears to hear and all that other stuff. Now, granted, you still don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But there's a confidence knowing that you're guided and led. There's a confidence to know that everything's going to be okay. And you don't have to get all crazy. Now, there is another force out there that is angry. Don't want you to have a life. There's another force out there that is looking to really tear you down, to destroy you and to rob you from a life. It wants to keep you in darkness. It wants to keep you confused and dazed. And it wants to rob your joy and your peace. These realms people don't see. They don't see those realms. They look at it as circumstances that just happened, and they begin to blame other people and think that they're the ones at fault and they did it and this is going on. But they don't look deep enough to understand and see that they're being influenced by forces that just don't want anyone to be happy. They don't, to the point where they bring such a deep depression that you might want to consider suicide or whatever else. I know I was in that place, and that's how I know I was totally set free. Religion has tried to bring God into the picture, but they have quenched it and destroyed the truth by putting a law on it. Do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. You can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to be this and you can't be that, and you have to do, to the point where they're making a cookie cutter person out of you. And that's not the way God wants it. He wants you just the way you are. How you feel, how you think, you like things and all that. Look, what might be good for Tim may not be good for me, because in Tim, he likes it. In me, I don't want it. So if I don't want it, why do I have to do it? Because he says it. This is what happened. I think the religion had good intentions to try to get people on the right path. But they hurt a lot of people too. You want me to be a good person, but you're forcing me your ways. And I'm going to try to follow your ways because I think that that's the right way to go. And I'm trusting you and believing you. But I'm doing it with anger. I'm doing it with bitterness. I'm doing it with, I just don't want it. And that's not right. That's not the way God wants it. That's not the way he wants to be found in your life. He wants you to want him. If you don't want to do it, it's a reason, because he put it inside of you that you don't want to do it. How many people are following me here? Amen. Because this is not a religion. What I'm bringing to you is a relationship. It's not a religion. You can call yourself anything you want. You can call yourself a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindi, a Christian, a Jew, whatever you want to do. I just want to call you a child of God. That's all I want to do. I just want you to have a relationship with God so that you and him can work out your own salvation and find your own joy and your own peace. I can't give you joy. You have to have it. You have to have it for yourself. You have to find it. You have to create it. You have to bring it inside of you. And I know how to bring it inside of you. You've got to take the guilt and shame out. You didn't do anything wrong. People have to realize that you're exactly the way that you're supposed to be. You're formed, everything is perfect. And until you realize that and you accept it, it's going to be hard for you to understand who God is, and it's going to be very hard for you to have some peace, because it's subconsciously inside, deep. The older we are, sometimes the harder it is. And the harder the road we had, sometimes it's harder it is. And then yet at the same time, sometimes the easier the road it is, sometimes it's harder it is. But let me get back to the forces, the darkness, the things that are out there that are looking to trip you up. It all starts with your mind. We think messed up. If you look at it, every thought that we have is negative. Always. We walk in fear, we walk in worry, we walk in anxiety. We have issues, we create scenarios. We never accept, I want to call, responsibility. I know that there has been times in my own life where I buried my head in the sand and I just didn't want to deal. But at the same time, creating God in your heart for who He is helps. Because all of a sudden you realize that this power that I'm talking about cares for you. And He's there to help you and guide you and lead you. Because He's already placed a life inside of you. I call it your heart. Okay? Not many people can be honest with themselves and understand what they care about and what they really love and what do they really want. And I'm hoping and praying that as long as you keep following this ministry, you'll be able to come to a place of finding out what you really want. Did you ever meet those people that are undecisive? You want vanilla ice cream or chocolate? I don't know. pick it. Well, you either want vanilla or chocolate. Which one would you like? What one do you like? Take a moment and tell me which one you want. I think I really want vanilla, you know? And then you go with vanilla. And then you take it. And then you might say, you know what? I should have went to the chocolate. You still didn't get deep down enough to find out what you really want. And that was just an example because there are so many times that we walk around not realizing what we want. We don't know what we want. And I'm going to tell you that it's okay not to know what you want. But if you search and you start to learn how to search and then you find it, you'll know how to tap in real quick. And then all of a sudden, you begin to follow a different world. Right now, we live in this world on top of our head. I call it the mind. We live in this world. This world on the top of our head, that's where we live. We think, we reason, you know, we're constantly trying to figure it out. When everything else is figured out already in this world, we just have to follow it. And, you know, here's a simple, perfect little example. This evening for dinner, Shelly counted up the sausage, and she said, oh, looks like we could all have 3 pieces of sausage. And I didn't even look at it. And I said, nope. I said, I think you're wrong. I think you better recount. Did you count it? I didn't have to, because I felt it. I felt it inside. I started living inside. And I said to her, nope, you better recount, because I think you're wrong. After finally getting to her, she counted and said, oh, you're right. Oh, looks like one short here. So whatever it was. But what I'm saying is the truth is inside of you. It will never, ever lie or steer you wrong. What is inside of you is pure truth. This is what separates us from a life. This is the destroyer of our life. And we grew up with this. This is what we were growing up. This is the only thing we knew. Nobody taught us how to follow to the inside. No one told us how to read the book that's inside of us. No one. And when we can be honest with ourselves and not care about what anybody thinks, and that is a big key. You cannot care what you think, and you cannot be concerned about being wrong or right, good or bad. You kind of cast all those cares away. Now, let's get back to the forces that don't want you to grow. the forces that don't want you to find that life. Because when you find that life, those dark forces out there are screaming. They're screaming. Has anyone ever done anything that they really wanted to do? They really wanted to do it, and then, you know, there's just been troubles and problems along the way. Okay. Well, that's because those forces over there just they wanted to trip you up. And this is the real cool thing, because, and I want to get real deep with you guys, but I have to build a little bit of a foundation so you can begin to understand a little bit. We don't battle flesh and blood, okay? We don't have to fight and try real hard in this world. It's already done. Now, when you begin to believe this, you begin to start creating the God that I know. And this God that I know actually is formed and works on your behalf. There are other gods out there, okay? Other higher levels of spirits out there, but don't you want the true living God, the true big Mohican in your life? I want, if I'm going to put my life in someone's hands, I want to make sure that this dude can hold me. You know what I'm saying? So this is the God I'm talking about, the one that can hold me. We are tested all the time in the form of creating him, trusting in him, believing in him. See, once you begin to start down this road, he knows you want to create him. He knows that you want to know him. So what he does is he puts things in front of you so that you can become stronger to know him. And to become stronger to know him, it becomes you have to trusting in him more. So the more that you trust in him makes you stronger to know him, if I'm making any sense. So when these things start to come against you and they seem like they're tripping you up, you have to resist them. You have to start renewing your mind and saying, no. Everything's going to be okay. Oh, no. Everything's going to be okay. Everything will be all right. I don't know how it's going to happen, but everything's going to be okay. And start trusting and believing in the situations. What empowers the darkness to trip you up is when you start letting fear and worry and anxiety enter in. As soon as you start going, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, you have just invited 20 more to come. You just invited 20 more to come. And the more you keep going that way, you're losing your strength of creation in God. And everything that you went to create, you just lost. And so we have to learn to understand that there is a battle that is going on. And it's almost like you build your troops and you gain power. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes in and beats all your troops up. Now you got to start all over and build your troops back up. And so if you can understand how the enemy works, and realize that they have power in the area of anxiety, worry, and fear. And you recognize those powers. And when they start to enter into you, or they start to face you, you have to counteract those powers with trust, with love, with faith. And once you start doing that, God begins to get stronger in your life. God begins to start fighting your battles. God begins to start making a way where there is no way. God begins to start doing signs and wonders and miracles in your life. God holds back the storm. And you'll never realize, because I'm going to tell you right now, the God that I'm talking about performs things that you can't even comprehend. You can't even think of them. You have no way how he's going to get you out of this situation. You have no clue. You have no idea. But there's always a way out with him. Always. He finds a way and creates a way where you can't even comprehend. And when that happens, you're like, oh, this is incredible. Can you believe it? Only God could have done this. And this is how God becomes more and more real in your life. And this is why I'm the way I am, because all I saw was God doing all these things in my life. And I said, he's real, he's real, he's real. It happened the first day when he called me. I went flying back like 6 feet, glued to the ground and couldn't get up. And my whole body was shaking and trembling. And I looked at my wife and I said, if God can put me on the floor like this and glue me on the ground with nobody holding me down, there's a power, there's a spirit, there's something here that's pinning me on the ground. And it delivered me, because I had some things going on in my life that I was instantly delivered. Instantly delivered. And when I tell you instantly delivered, I'm telling you instantly delivered. And my whole life just became a light. And it all became clear to me. And then I said, that's real. That is what I am longing for. That is what I'm searching for. That right there, whatever it is. And I'm not going to stop until I find it. And that's where I'm at today after, what, 15 years or whatever it is. And now I'm standing boldly enough now to say, listen, I've been tried and tested. And I know who I'm looking at. And I know who I'm talking to. And I know this God. And I know the God that we are all searching for. And I want to find that God. And the coolest thing is this God that I have is the same God that you can have. It's no difference. He's not a respecter of any person or anything. He loves you just the way you look at me. He loves the way you are, just like this. You don't have to be conformed to nothing. You don't have to. If you want to wear a suit, wear a suit. If you don't want to wear a suit, don't wear a suit. If you want to wear that, wear that. If you want to blonde your hair, blonde your hair. Whatever you want to do, he's cool with it. Because that's what you want inside. You see? And that's what he loves. You want to hear something crazy? He's in you. When you love what's inside of you, you're actually letting him love himself. Yeah, and he loves to love himself.
Who
within you. That's right. Who don't love loving yourself, right? I love myself. But he loves himself within. And that's the most coolest thing. So when you begin to start really loving who you are, it draws God to you. And don't worry about losing friends and family and all that other stuff. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. That's a given. Because what happened was you created what they love. And then when you finally found out who you are inside and you love that inside, they don't love that. And they're like, get out of here, because you know what? I loved what you loved. I loved what you were before, and now I don't know what you are, and I don't love it. Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Because this is the beauty. When you finally get to fall in love with that being inside of you, that book that's written on your heart, and you end up falling in love with it, and you don't care about anything else, guess what? All those out there that love who you are start coming around in your life. And those that are looking for, you know, a loved one or whatever, you know, you end up getting that one for eternity. You end up getting that one forever. You see? You have children that are just come out pure in love. And it's a beautiful thing, because this God that I am talking about is the God of love. And now we got to get back to the thing that tries to separate you from this love. The principalities. One of the things that I try to share with everyone is you have three things to gauge your relationship so that you come into a new place. This is where God is. He's in this place. So you got to come into this place. It's a refrain of mind. You have to come into this place. And there's three things that you gauge yourself with to get into this place. One, the level of guilt and shame and condemnation. Anybody that's putting shame on you, anybody that's telling you that you shouldn't, would have, could have, should have, whatever, get them out of your life. Tell them to shut up. Unless they really have their best interests, you know, that's a different story. They're rare occasions. But most people just want to knock you down. They just want to knock you down. And then you also have to be careful about yourself, because yourself really wants to knock you down. And, you know, did we make mistakes? I want to say yes, but I'm a liar. We didn't make any mistakes. Did you lose money? Yes. No, you didn't lose money. Because what if you went in a different direction? Do you know how much money you would have really lost? You see, you don't know what would have happened if you went in a different direction. You might have said, oh, I shouldn't have done this. Oh yeah, if you did it, what would be the outcome of it? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it would have been worse. You just have to believe me. I know it's hard to believe me, but it would have been worse. Now, if you can believe that, you're going to help yourself. Because one of the greatest weapons that this force of darkness has over your life is you shouldn't have done that. You should have done something different. Why did you do it? And that right there in itself is a killer. Because it's just trying to fool you. It's trying to trick you. If you went down that road, I guarantee it would have been worse. Because the truth is, God directs your footsteps. It really says God directs a righteous man's footsteps. A righteous man's footsteps is one who taps into here. A righteous man's footsteps has been born righteous since the day he was born. I don't know any baby that's a devil. I don't know any baby that is just mean, rotten, and nasty. Might cry a lot, but I don't know any baby that is just a nasty baby. Every baby you look at, it's like, it could be the ugliest looking baby. And it'd be, oh, it's such a pretty little baby. Look at that baby. I love that baby. Give me that baby. It's just natural. There is not one nasty looking baby. They're all good looking. They're all perfect. They're all righteous. We're all righteous. We're just like that baby. We didn't do anything wrong. What made us not righteous is our own self. By putting all this guilt and shame and just hammering it down. If we could break away from that and start forgiving ourselves, start forgiving what we think was wrong, and start realizing that God loves us so much that he guided our path, he protected us. He didn't want us to go down that road. There was a long story in my life. I come from a family that, you know, as a union guys and everything else. And, you know, it was, my father was in it, my brother got in it, and I was supposed to get in. I failed three times. And you would have to say, did I do something wrong? I should have been, my life would have been better if I was in there. The whole nine years. You know what? That's a lie. That's a lie. I got to cast those lies down. We're carrying too much guilt. I don't know the future. I could have fell off of a 14-story building for some reason, off of a ladder, and next thing you know, out the window or something. You know what I'm saying? And I would have never had these children or something. You know, we create lies in our head. It was perfect. Everything that I did was perfect. Everything that I did was perfect. That's number one. Number two, gauge what world you're living in by how much peace. If you're not at peace, you got to find out what's stealing your peace. You got to connect. You got to know that there are principalities and powers, darkness, wickedness in high places that are robbing your happiness. What is it? Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. But I'll be alone if I get the drama out. No, get it out of your life. Find peace. You might be alone for a week or two or a month, but you're going to start finding happiness. You know, God will start working some happiness. You also have to look at your joy. You have to find joy. Joy and peace. And if you're not happy and all that other stuff, then you know that you're not on the right road. You know that you know you're not in that place. Now, it's not going to happen all at once. You got to build it. First, you got to accept the fact that, you know what? I'm happy, but I'm not as happy as I really want to. Me, I've learned to taste it. I've learned to taste happiness, and I've learned to taste joy. And, you know, I can't even wipe a smile off my face. It seems like it's getting worse. It's starting to get cramps. It's like this all day. And it's like, I can't even get it off my face. But it's okay. I get a little drunk. Don't have cares. Not worried about tomorrow. It's a great place to be. Do I war with my imaginations? Yes. Jim, you should be doing something. You know, you sat here for 2 hours and you didn't do anything. What are you doing? I'm perfectly fine. I didn't do anything wrong. It's okay. God leads and righteous. I wasn't stirred by my innards, you know? So I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, those lies just leave. Those things that were attacking me just goes. It's called light. When you let the light in, when you let the truth in, that darkness has got to go. That darkness has got to flee. Do you know how many times we open up the darkness? Jim, you should be doing something. It's been 2 hours. You've been sitting here and didn't do absolutely nothing. You know what? You're right. Guilt comes in. Oh, I better get up. Guilt comes in. I better go find something to do. I better start getting dressed. I better go out there and just start doing something. And then I end up doing something that just totally just wasted my day. It wasn't necessary. If you just wait on the Lord, He'll stir you. Right now, He's teaching me something. He's teaching me something because I was a man who, when the sun went up, man, I hit the pavement 100%, and I didn't stop until the sun went down. There's times where wee hours in the morning I ended up taking my boots off because that's how I wore my boots more than I had them off. And it's a little different. It's a little different. And my mind is being renewed because God has a way of breaking you. But let Him break you. Let Him tear down the strongholds that we built. We have patterns and habits that have to break. And so I want to end tonight to let you know that be careful about guilt, shame, worry and fear and anxiety. Don't let it get a grip of you. Know that there is a God out there that we have to create. Listen, there isn't one. Atheists believe it, and you'll never see God in their life. They'll fight and fight and fight through every aspect of their life, tormented in their mind, never come to peace. And I know this for a fact because I seen one on their deathbed as they were just about to die. Their spirit left their body and he was screaming because he saw darkness and these dark mist things were just pulling on him, dragging him, and he was screaming he didn't want to go. I know this for a fact. I saw it. I heard it. It kind of was eerie, but it was just an icing on the cake. God confirmed to me that there's a place that we go to when we renounce God by faith, if we don't believe in Him. Now, everybody believes in something. Everybody believes in something. So there's a measure. This is what I think is so cool with God, because God's desire is not for having anyone suffer. So it's not like if you don't believe my God, your whole life is just going to go crazy and screaming down the pit of hell. He's a merciful God. You have some faith in you. You have some faith in you. You just don't realize it. And you created a little bit of God in you. And that is a merit. That's a merit. Isn't that wonderful? His mercy is so great. So there's a merit there that you're not going to go screaming all the way down to where I saw that atheist who just would not believe totally at all in God. Okay? There's a place that's prepared for you because of that little bit of faith that you had. Maybe in your little closet you said, oh, you know, I need some help here, man. I can't do this on my own. Well, you were talking to God. You see? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there in your life. He's always there. It's those that renounce him and say, there is no God. They're the ones that I really would love to talk to. Plead with them, please. Just give them a little bit. Because you just don't want to go where there's a complete no. But at the same time, listening to this, would you rather have your most favorite, desiring flavor of ice cream? Or would you settle for just any old bland ice cream? That's kind of like where it is. Why not go for the best? Why not have it for eternity? I want the best flavor. I don't want to have to settle with just mediocre. I want the best. This life that we're living in right now, done. Over. I probably got another, I'm 50 now. I had an epiphany. That's my new word, epiphany. I'm 50. I went, oh my God, I'm 50. Where did it go? Just the other day I was 20. Where did 50, where is it? You know what? I'm going to be dead soon. Like that. It's there. It's inevitable. It's there. My kids know it, right, girls? What do you got, maybe 20, 30 more years of me? That's it, bye. I'm okay with it. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's coming, right, Tim? It's coming. You can't stop it. But you got eternity. There is a life after death, and I've seen it. And I want all those that are listening out there to realize that there is life after death. And that's the real life that we really should be gearing for. The one that we're going to be eternal. Eternal. I'm not changing on this life. This is, what you see is what you get. I'm not changing. Don't think I'm changing. I'm not putting a suit on and, you know, putting a white collar on and trying to put myself all righteous. I am who I am. But I know where I'm going. And if you want to judge me, I'm going to jump right over you. I'm going to be on a high place. I'm a high plane, and I'm going to look down at you and go, yeah, forever. But it's real. It's real. And it's sad for me to see people in that state of depression, that lost state, where they're just, they might have known God for all their life. You know what's keeping you from getting down to that place where you need to be? Getting you to where you need that relationship? I want to say pride. Pride is a big hindrance. God loves a broken, humble heart. One who is just saying, listen, I don't have it all together. I got issues. I know I got issues. And I'm lost. And I need to find something. I'm not really honest with myself, a little depressed, a little, listen, help me. If you say that in your heart, God's like Superman, and he's right there. If you seek, you'll find. He's not going to be one that you have to like fight through all these paper bags and stuff. He's right there, and that's the real cool thing about it. He's right there. What keeps us separated from God is pride. And we might even be deceived thinking we're broken and humble. I love those kind. Oh, no, whatever, you know. You ever see one of them fake broken guys, fake broken people? Ugh. They're disgusting. It's like, come on, man. You are more prideful than, why don't you just say, listen, I'm the best guy in town and I love myself. Why don't you just come out and say it? Who are you kidding? You're fooling yourself by going, We're deceived. And that's what those dark things do. They deceive us. They lie to us and deceive us and make us something that we're not. I know some people that are so delusional, they blame everybody else and they can't even look at themselves. It's everybody else's fault. They blame the economy, they blame this, they blame that, they blame it all. Maybe it's just not what God wants for you in your life. It's not them. I always say, listen, if you want to blame anybody, blame God. Blame them. Blame God. But when you blame him, know that he has your best interest. Know that he has it all figured out and his plan is higher and better than what you think. The problem is you just diverting off of his plan. And that's why you're the way you are right now. You're all messed up because you're fighting it. And if we stop fighting and surrender and give our lives to this God that I'm talking about, your life will never be the same. I say this is the present or the gift or the fruit of giving your life to God. Every desire in your heart you get. Everything that you love, everything that you want, you get it. You might not get it instantly, but you get it. You're going to get it. The quicker you can lay down the garbage, the faster you get it. The reason why we're waiting so long, some of us, is because we're still living that old life. We never really laid it down. We said we did with our lips, but our heart is so far from it. And when we can get our heart to lay it down with our lips and bring the two into sync, we'll be all right. But we're deceived. We've been deceived so long, we don't even realize that we're deceived. We've been fooled so long, we don't even know that we were fooled. We love that fool and deception more than we love the truth and the facts. And if we can rewire our minds and know the truth, that truth will set us free. And that's what's so cool about where I'm going, where I would like to take you. Those that are listening, that's where I would like to take you. Now, I know that my God is a spirit, and you can't see it. You got to know him by faith. So I'm going to ask by faith if everybody could just close their eyes for a moment. Just, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, and just kind of open up your heart. And if you want this God that I've talked about today, if you really want to get this place where I would love us to be, I call it the kingdom of God. I call it heaven. I call it supernatural. I call it your heart's desire, your love, your life. If you want to get this life that is yours and you want to tap into it because you might be sick and tired a little bit of living the same old, just right now, just open up your heart and you don't have to repeat after me or nothing. God's just going to come right in because I'm going to ask him. I'm going to say to him, I'm going to just call on him. God, he's already listening to me. He's like, I can't wait until you tell me. Come on, hurry up, hurry up. God, come into their hearts. Do something supernatural. Something that they've been longing for, something that they've been desiring for, something that they know that no one else knew or could have even imagined. And bring it into their life, Lord. There's a debt that's going to be canceled with somebody. And you didn't know how that was going to happen. And God's going to cancel a debt right now on you. You're going to be set free on it. Father, do something great in their lives. Let them obtain credit where they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get credit. Finance is going to hit somebody that's been looking for some financing, might have been turned down over something that they were looking to apply, or maybe they were just worried or concerned that they were able to even get approved and they were hindered to look for. And I'm saying go for it. You know, I'm just going to, maybe somebody out there that's listening, it's almost like you want to get a Harley and you've been contemplating whether or not you can even afford it or if you can even get the finances for it. And the crazy thing is I feel that God's saying go for it. You want it, go for it. And he'll give you the loan, he'll give you the credit, he'll make a way to pay for that, and you're going to be riding on that praising his name. It's almost like you need permission. Well, I give you permission today. Lord, I thank you for coming into their hearts. And Lord, I ask, show them your love. Do what you have done in my life, in their life. Touch them in a supernatural way, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise here. And I'm going to let Tim close those that are listening. Get them to search our website. Get them to log on. Matter of fact, I think, are we getting that new setting here?